audio to listen to coming up at 8:40 and then at 8:55. Razor joins us for his final visit of the season. Right now at 8:19 on the ticket, we talk about the difficulty of knowing when to put an animal down.
Yes, we've had a couple of examples here. Gordo, I think we give him a hard time about it, but I think he's tried to do the right thing in a couple of examples. You saw a grackle that was on the road.
Well, what happened was I was driving home from this very, very radio show. I mean, I'm not going to lie about it.
That's not surprising.
And I was driving home. This is about 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I was taking a left onto this street, and there was a female grackle that was down there in the middle of the roadway. And I see her, and I'm driving up to it. And birds always flush, right, when you get up to them. Mm-hmm. You always get out of the way. Well, a male grackle, it was mating season, and a male grackle was thinking with his grackle dingus. And he flies in to go get on top of this girl grackle. So as she sees my car approaching, she flies off, but he's flying in for the mount right at that time, and my car nails him. And then, so I stop, look in my rearview mirror, and there's this thing struggling down there on
madly,
the roadway.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, God, I can't just drive off and leave this, even though I hate grackles. I can't drive off and leave that thing suffering. Well, I don't have any weapon with me except my 2,000-pound car, which did the damage to begin with. So I back up and hear the sickening crunch as I try to line up the tire over its head and kill this grackle and put it out of its misery.
Are people watching this? Or they're...
Well, I look up, and on the sidewalk across the street from us watching is a woman and her about 10-year-old daughter. And their mouths are just kind of open.
Daughter and
yeah.
Crying.
And meanwhile, they've seen this guy not only what looked like me gunning it to plow into him because I was, you know, rushing home, plowing over this grackle, but then locking him up afterwards, throwing it in reverse and backing over it again.
Man, what does that guy have against that grackle?
So I felt horrible. And the other episode that I went through was when a dog, I had a friend had a dog over there and somehow got into a batch of baby birds and it kind of gnawed this little baby bird who had a huge gash on its chest and everything. And so I feel horrible for this little bird and it's suffering. And so I went out and got a hatchet out of the garage and chopped its head off because that's the quickest
wow.
way to...
And didn't you say your neighbors were looking out their window
yeah,
at you?
Yeah, he was working on his lawn back over there and could see over the fence and was looking at me. And I'm raising a hatchet above a little tiny baby bird.
He sees the shadow on the fence.
Yes.
And it was the smile that threw him off.
The bird saying, no, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay.
I was not smiling. There was not some dramatic shot of the shadow of the axe on the fence or the side of the house.
And yeah, then, we added that to the story.
Then,
there's
then
no
the,
doubt.
Then the splatter of blood across a T-shirt.
Oh, my gosh.
The neighbor's face getting a stream of blood across his brow.
Okay, but you were trying to do the right thing. You felt
yes.
bad for the
and
animal. They were suffering.
Yes, and both of them were traumatic for me.
Right.
I mean, I'm just trying to do the right thing.
You
I don't
do
want
the dirty work.
Right, I don't want
hold
to kill
on,
them.
Hold on. There are more.
What?
There are times that you were taking pot shots at a grackle off your back
okay,
porch.
Okay, there's more to that story. I have a problem with grackles and starlings, and they were always getting on my feeders and stuff like this that I'm, you know, using to... Mm-hmm. have more attractive birds in the yard because I like looking at them. And this is a few residents ago. And so I got the lowest FPS BB gun I could find.
Just to scatter them a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, to shoot the grackles off of my feeder because I didn't want to eat all my safflower seeds. So you shoot the grackles and, you know, you hit them in the back and just kind of wing them and they take off. Well, starlings aren't quite as hardy of a bird. And first time starlings get on there, I shoot it, and the thing flops down. I mean, right up under the feeder, drops.
Mm.
And I went over to look at the starling, and it's looking up at me, and here's its little ace of spades looking tongue just sticking out and just clucking at me as it's staring at me. And it's suffering. I mean, dang, the BB did a little bit more damage on this bird than it
so
does the bigger grackle.
So he stuck the BB gun up its beak.
That is made up. That's made up. Now, the reality wasn't much better, because I looked around the yard and found a brick.
Why don't you just use the gun?
And that particular house had a cyclone fence. So, I mean, it's not a privacy fence or anything. And so then, and people are always walking by, but do I wait for the people to walk all the way by so that I don't look bad.
Mm-hmm.
But this thing has to suffer while I work on my image. I determined, no, you dispatch with it as quickly as possible. And so, yeah, there were people walking by, and I raised the brick above my head. You start.
Okay, now you're adding stuff to it. Why are you doing that?
Get some.
Hey, why are you doing that to yourself?
You just shorted out the light on my microphone.
Oh, I did somehow. Hmm. That's weird.
Yeah, some doesn't work. Hmm. Wow.
So, see, that's three. Now, don't you see a pattern developing here? This is a guy who loves...
The only pattern is because I think most people don't give the animal a sweet, swift death.
Yeah, they just let him suffer.
They let him suffer because they don't...
I don't think that's the right thing to do.
...want to be walking around with all these psychological scars.
And what about the story of Half Cat?
I didn't do anything to Half Cat.
He didn't do anything to
Half
Cat. He just found Half Cat.
It was a cat torn in half by coyotes. But it was weird because I felt like if it was somebody's cat, they ought to be notified. So I went around to all these neighbors and people I didn't know and were telling them lurid details of this cat torn in half in this yard over here. And half of them wouldn't open the door for me. And I'm trying to tell it through the, our cat's fine. What are you? And so I think that I got all pinned for it.
Well, I thought about you a couple of days ago. Because, as you know, we have two cats who like to hunt, and they will take out snakes, they've taken out mice, rats, all sorts of stuff. This week, they have been on a killing rampage. They took out a baby rabbit the day after Easter.
Oh, man.
We found a decapitated rabbit on our back stoop the day after Easter. Noonie and Witty tore apart a little baby rabbit.
Mm. And you're harboring these animals? You're helping them get away with it?
Well, it was the first killing of theirs that really disturbed me. I don't mind if they take out mice and snakes, but the baby rabbit was very disturbing. There was blood all over the garage, and it was just of course, I'm on the hazmat crew, so, you know, I had that, that responsibility, which is the worst one ever.
If you're the dad or man in a household,
yes,
you always get the worst jobs.
You are on hazmat cleanup, so I had that. Then 2 days ago, we heard shrieking from the garage again and go out there and think, you know, maybe it's another rabbit. No, it was a bird that they had. There were feathers everywhere, all over the garage, all over the driveway. And this wasn't a grackle or a dove.
By the way, how do cats disperse so many feathers when they attack a... It always looks like they
throw them out individually.
Yes, it looks like they've shot the bird out of a potato cannon.
I don't know. There's feathers everywhere. And there's this huge bird on our back stoop. It's not a a robin or anything like that. It's this canary or cockatoo looking. It's a pet bird.
Oh, my God.
And it's huge. And it's on its back going... trembling. It can't get off of its back. And I went, oh my gosh, and they're just sitting there like, how about them apples? What do you think of that? You know, that's what cats do. They bring it to you. There's, you know,
it's like
they're earning, earning their keep. So I thought of Gordo and I thought, okay, I got to do the thing that Gordo's always talked about. It is the right thing to do here because this bird is in bad shape. It cannot turn over from its back and its big claws are just looking at me and it's trembling.
Pawing at the air.
And, I said, okay, I gotta go put this thing out of its misery. And then the family reaction is, what?
Wait, so family...
Wait, what are you doing with that shovel?
The family's gathered around the bird.
Yeah, they're looking, and I said, well, look, I don't know, it's got some sort of internal injury, there's something terribly wrong with its back, it can't fly, it can't hardly move its wings.
And let me guess, the woman's already proposing this long, lengthy vet treatment that's going to involve rehabilitation.
I already mentioned that. We can call the vet, and this bird belongs to someone. And I thought, yeah, it probably did at one point, but it ain't making it back to its nice little swing in the cage.
It belongs to the devil now.
It ain't making it back to the comfortable living room with 72.6 degrees on the thermostat. It's just not going to happen. So I get the shovel.
No, wait.
The shovel. And I pick him up with the shovel.
Blade.
And I'm going to take him out back and just do him in with the shovel.
Did you scoop him up with the shovel?
Yes, I scooped him up with the shovel, and I did that. There was more drama, more feathers flying everywhere, and more movement and everything. And look, he's moving. And then the son of a gun hopped up on his 2 feet.
Okay.
He's okay.
See there? You almost killed a healthy bird.
He had weird, he looked like a 90-year-old bird. He was all leaned over, and he was at a weird angle, and his wing was still flopping. And he was up on his... on his 2 bird feet, but he still didn't look good to me. But then their consensus
you
was...
You wanted to do it.
He looks fine. He looks fine. And then we mentioned, I'll take him to the vet. I'll take him to the vet. It'll be fine. I'll take him to the vet. Immediately, I start calculating, how much is that visit? Yeah. And I said, okay, and what beyond that? And then we're just going to keep him there, and then someone's going to come claim him? No, we'll get a cage, and we'll keep him.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I never signed up for a bird. I don't want a bird in the house. Loud bird, and this is... A bird that runs
out
of rehab for the next 6 months?
Yes. Even if you nursed him back to health, you would have ended up killing him with a shovel anyway.
So I said, I'm sorry. I know this is difficult, but I'm going to have to do this. This bird is not going to...
They're trying to talk you out of it.
About four stays...
Start to disrobe to go out in the field.
About 4 stays of execution, right? And so finally I said, okay, if it's that bothersome, then we can... keep him and get him to, it was after 6 o'clock, so it was too far gone to get him to the vet that night.
So he's got to suffer throughout the night.
And they put him in a little crate, and they got water for him. Look, he's drinking. See, he's drinking. And look, he got up on the perch, and he's perched up on the laundry basket. He's going to be fine. I thought, then I felt like a jerk. I'm like, God, man, I was going to do this thing in, and he's going to survive. Then we got the...
try to feed him grass. For some reason, that's the go-to with kids
grass,
to feed animals.
Yeah.
They all
it's
eat grass.
It's going to be fine. And, you know, my older kids, they once revived a bird known as Tovar Flyer, a baby bird who had...
What the hell?
Tovar Flyer?
What just
I told you
here?
About him long, long time ago. He fell out of a nest.
Mentioned it.
We saved him, and he grew up to be a big bird, allegedly. But anyway, that's the story that we've always gone, hey, we can rehabilitate him, we'll be fine. But then we heard that it was going to be $150 just for the checkout of the bird. I'm like,
so just for a vet to tell you should kill this thing with a shovel,
right?
It's going to cost you $150.
So that was Tuesday night. So Wednesday morning, I come to work, and when I left, the bird was up on his perch and he was doing fine. And they were going to take him to the vet later that morning, but I was notified yesterday at 8:33 a.m. That the bird did not make it. That he was. Stiff as a board.
He's in bird hell with Tovar Flyer.
Tovar Flyer survived. This bird did not. So the right call would have been to put... That poor thing had a night of misery, and I feel so bad for him. Now, they were trying to do the right thing, thinking, no, we can save his life. It's a living, breathing thing.
So how many hours was this?
12, maybe 14.
They may have been the best 14 hours of his life.
Yeah.
He may
perch
have...
on a laundry basket above Giorgio's skid-marked underwear.
He may have been
like hell. I didn't put in my underwear.
He was begging. That's what killed him, Giorgio's underwear.
You can't prove that it's marked like that.
But he may have been able to get his nest in order. He may have been able to call some old buddies that he hadn't talked to in a long time.
In order.
He had no access to telephones. Did you guys allow him at least one call?
Oh, yeah. I gave him the phone, but he couldn't even stand for more than 3 seconds
just
or so.
Just because you missed that on your phone.
Before he did a beak plant into your Rorschach'd up underwear.
And you know what?
My underwear is not in the laundry basket.
This way he died on his own terms, not with some... giant.
You think
human,
that's the way he wanted to
not
go?
Not with just... some giant human over him with a shovel.
With a mad
okay,
look in his eye.
Okay, what's the better way to go?
Suffer
for an entire night, or just let's go ahead and let's get it over with.
Yeah,
that's the one thing the animals have the advantage over us. We do have to suffer till the bitter end, and the animals can have it. It may seem
they
ugly.
Can be killed. They can be murdered peacefully and lovingly.
So we did the wrong thing, or we did the right thing.
I think you did the wrong thing.
I think you did the right thing because the animal got up and was upright. And so you're thinking, okay, I mean, if they're clearly about to die, you know, in moments and their head is half severed, then, yeah, put them out of the misery. But he got 14 more quality hours.
Those aren't quality hours, and you know that.
But you know what, though? I found out as I was about to do the deed, That's a really difficult thing to do. And you may just think it's just a bird.
Not
but
for
I mean,
Gordon.
Not for Gordon.
No, it is. And I've never done that before.
Live for it.
And I know it's just some spare bird that I certainly didn't want as a pet, but I was really going to have a hard time. And that was partly me wimping out, too, thinking, okay, yeah, maybe you're right. Yeah, we'll call the vet. I'll pay $150 just so I don't have to kill it.
You get PTSD and all that?
What's that?
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
Oh.
That's what I have.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I thought I was going to be living with that. Plus, if my son saw that, you know, that's a memory that stays on. Yeah, I remember when Dad took the bird out back and took the shovel to its head, and it didn't work the first time, and I saw that, you know, that I wasn't going to kill it properly, and
Dad came back in crying, and
here's
I just don't want to be the executioner.
Here's why you did the right thing. P1 Dennis emails, and he says, 20 years ago, he's dating his now wife, and her parents had a 4-year-old black lab named Daisy. Mm. Unexpectedly one day, Daisy ran into the street, hit by a car. The driver gets out. His father-in-law comes out, the owner of Daisy, and they're looking at Daisy, and she's there motionless in the street. Mm. And it looks really bad. And so the guy who drove the car said, I'll go home, I'll get my gun, I'll come back, I'll put her out of her misery.
I live 3 hours away, by the way.
The dad said, no, she's my dog. It's my responsibility to do this. So he went back in, grabbed his Smith & Wesson, came back out, and as he was about to blow Daisy away, she popped up and ran to the house. Amazed at what happened, he said they rushed her to the vet. They discovered she did have some internal injuries, but they were not life-threatening. She fully recovered and lived 10 more years.
See?
So you never know. If they're able to pop up like that.
Right. But even as he popped up, there was still a doubt, though, because he had forward lean and he still had wing twitch.
Yeah, but you know what?
He can live with those conditions.
He still had the will to live.
I know. And who am I to say that was his time to go?
And you were trying to play God.
But what a horrible what a horrible last 14 hours. First of all, two cats just toying with him. He thought that was the way he was going to. He's shrieking in our garage. Then he has me hauling him in a shovel, you know, and putting him down and putting it up in the air. And
raising him above
raising
your head
above
as
my
a
head.
Huge lightning strike goes across the sky.
Stay hard, Tovar Flyer.
Well, this wasn't
Tovar Flyer.
Sparehead.
Sparehead? Is that what you named him?
Actually, I was calling him Rip.
Rip.
R.I.P. That's very fitting.
Yeah. All right, 8:37 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Coming up next, some more funny audio from Anderson Cooper.
Hi, this is George.